Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
If you don't know about flyer deals on Instacart, this message is for you. Flyer deals are like scrolling through your favorite store looking for deals, but you're scrolling your phone and maybe you're in bed because getting delivery doesn't mean you have to miss deals like you'd get at the store, like the one creamer that doesn't make your stomach hurt or the pasta sauce you can't not buy when it's on sale. So download the Instacart app, shop flyers, and never miss a deal on one of your favorites. Plus, get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes.
What's trending?
What's trending is presented by Baker University, where graduates earn higher salaries and land jobs faster than any other university in Kansas. Apply today at bakeru.edu. Number one on what's trending, Bobby Wood Jr., a little scary yesterday, got hit at the time. We thought in the hand or wrist. The Royals said it was his forearm. Ultimately, x-rays were negative. No clear timetable is set to return for Bobby, but I know Fesco was reporting this morning that 5 to 6 days is what he's hearing that he'll be out for. But the disaster, worst
not
case scenario stuff.
Not a long-term thing is what Pass was saying happening. Last night. Yep. Yeah, which is good. Obviously, across the board, Vern said he looked okay. Our guy Vinny Pasquantino sent out a photo of him last night using both hands and arms in order to send out a tweet with the prayer hand emojis up. I'm sure it's always scary when you initially think that you've had that serious injury. Next up on What's Trending, speaking of injuries, Cooper Kupp has left his ACC tournament game with an apparent ankle injury. He's been seen being pushed in a wheelchair to go get x-rays after landing awkwardly on that ankle. Obviously, that would have massive, massive, massive implications on the NCAA tournament. They're one of the best teams in the country. He's the best player in the country. And so there's a lot of questions. Plus, he's supposed to be, you know, the number one overall pick. Probably in next year's NBA or this year's NBA draft. So, a lot to keep an eye on there with Cooper Flagg, who did leave the game with an ankle injury and was being seen pushed down the tunnel in a wheelchair.
I'll be really interested how the injury information is put out there because, you know, you're trying to protect your seeding and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Not that they wouldn't be a number one seed still, but just from a overall seed and how the committee would view it. Like, if all of a sudden they knew Cooper Flagg was done for the year, There's reason that they would not share that information until Sunday after the selection show. They're not supposed to do that, but teams have done that in the past. Hopefully it's nothing too serious. Elsewhere in What's Trending, Xavier Worthy's ex-fiance has filed a civil suit after releasing a statement yesterday, also saying she'll let the legal process take place. There's now two counter complaints out there. Basically, it sounds like this thing's just about to get uglier when it comes to ultimately, I will say, on the personal side,
civil fight,
away from the field kind of stuff and how both parties ultimately move forward with that. But there was a story from Pro Football Talk that lawyers for Xavier Worthy's fiance issued competing statements after entry of a temporary protective order was granted by a judge down there. So this is not resolved from that standpoint, but
at least just more news, at least on that, and we'll keep an eye on it as time goes on. Next up on What's Trending, Big 12 tournament taking place down at T-Mobile Center. Our Big 12 tournament coverage on 96.5 The Fan is brought to you by Twin Peaks Eats, Drinks, Scenic Views. Iowa State has opened up a 38-25 lead. They were down 25-15, like, I don't know, 3 minutes ago. They pretty much hit every single three since. Been a high score.
Yeah, 35 or 32, not 25.
38-32. They were down 25-15.
You said 38-25. It's all good. No, no worries.
Okay, 38-32, the score right now, at least over there for Iowa State versus BYU. Colorado and Houston will take place at 2 o'clock. Kansas and Arizona tonight at 6:30 as well, if you want to get some of the local action in.
Yeah, the
Big 12. Missouri tonight. Big 12, the SEC tournament.
Big 12 tournament. Give me another busy day down at Power and Light. We'll keep an eye on that with more updates throughout the show as well. Next on What's Trending, the Royals just put out another teaser video. I don't know if you saw, they've been teasing out this Hall of Fame video. Basically, last night they put out a video where it's George Brett and Ned Yost and these guys were all playing poker. And they keep like, and so they just put out another video where they're knocking on someone's door, and then like the door opens and then it just says to be continued. It's for a Hall of Fame inductee. We all assume this is Gordon, right? Like,
that's my assumption.
That's the guess for everybody.
Well, when they were playing in the previous one, when they were talking about Mike Moustakas or the pool thing, they said four is wild. So
it's got
George Brett said that. I gotta just assume it's Alex Gordon. Yeah.
And they show somebody walking, and I don't know, like it almost looks like we've seen enough Alex Gordon. Like it almost looks like it's him walking.
You almost know what he's looking like?
Now somebody else knocking on the door, but I don't know, man. Like I think they're just teasing this out for as long as possible, but we assume it'll be Alex Gordon maybe as the newest inductee to the
Royals
Hall of Fame.
Little fun videos, though. Good job by the social media team over there. Get all those former Hall of Famers together to have a little fun.
That is what's trending. Don't forget, when we talk Big 12 tournament, our Big 12 tournament coverage on 96.5 The Fan, brought to you by KRT Muscle Cream. A body in motion stays in motion with KRT Muscle Cream. We will head out to Arizona a little bit later on this hour, around 12:40, and check in with Josh Fernier. He'll have the very latest on the injury status of Bobby Wood Jr. But as we mentioned during What's Trending, it looks like they avoided worst case scenario kind of stuff, and they're just going to be cautious with him moving forward. X-rays were negative. But let's talk some more college basketball. K-State had their season come to an end last night, and I think it's a deeper discussion, not only just like, hey, last night was probably a prime example of who they've been for much of the season, but Coleman Hawkins, who was not good last night, has had an up and down inconsistent season. He was the big prize transfer portal target.
Couple million bucks.
$2 million NIL portal. And with that comes pressure, comes scrutiny. And today's day and age of college basketball with NIL, if you're making that kind of money, you are going to be expected to perform at a certain level. Now, I don't think it means you should go on social media and be a complete a-hole to a 19-year-old or a 28-year-old, right? And some people think that because someone makes $2 million, it gives them the right to do that. Now, in terms of being fairly critical of performance, yeah, man, that's the name of the game that you've now signed up for if you're going to be making that kind of money. So as long as you don't cross the line, I have no problem with how people want to be critical of college players now more than ever. And that's where we're at in college basketball. And Coleman Hawkins was very emotional after the loss last night, and he took a lot of responsibility for the season.
I really wanted to come in, impact the program, and you know, some of the stuff, the outcome, obviously wasn't what we wanted. And I feel like I let a lot of people down. And I feel like I did a poor job of letting people talk about me and affect my play. And it was evident all year. And I wish I could just go back, block out everything, not for myself, but for the team, so we could have had a more successful year.
So that was Coleman Hawkins.
That was hard. That was
senior,
tough to see.
Yeah, obviously very emotional. And I think what he's experiencing and saying out loud is probably how a lot of players now and in the future are going to feel if they don't perform at a certain level. There's the scrutiny on social media. There's just the scrutiny that's going to come more than ever. And there's no like fixing this. I mean, this is where we're at now in college basketball. You don't perform, You're going to feel it.
Yeah, people are going to be more critical of
your play. Professional athlete would.
Yeah, I don't think that that's unfair. I mean, I don't think that it's unfair to say we are going to be more critical now of, you know, players because they're more like professionals. They are still, there's always a shape because they are still kids. Like a 20-year-old, 22-year-old. Now, and I don't know, in Kansas' case, they got like two kids in their 30s, it seems like, based on how long like Hunter Dickinson's been in school. That's a full-grown adult. Probably at that point, but I understand the criticism that comes with the college athletics end now that there is money tied to it and we know the money. I think there's always some level of money tied to college athletics and we're kind of stupid if we think otherwise, but like now that there's more and it's public and we can see it, I get it. But K-State just, like in all retrospect of their season, they just pulled the curtain over our eyes for a very brief stretch in the middle of the regular season. And if you were paying attention at any other time, this is roughly who they were. They could just lay an egg. Last night, Coleman Hawkins had a bad game. Because of that, they can't win a game in which Coleman Hawkins goes 0-for in the first half. So they got beat by Baylor, and they were unable to recover. The middle of the season stretch is still the one that like absolutely like fools me in the sense like, how did they go through that run? They beat Iowa State, one of the 10 best teams in the country. They then beat Arizona State, beat Kansas, beat Arizona, another tournament team, and then eventually succumbed to BYU at the end of the run. I was like, what the hell happened there? Like, they beat Oklahoma State and West Virginia before that. Those aren't very good basketball teams, but at least, you know, they beat them. There was that stretch of time when it looked like Kansas State had been lying to us this whole time. And realistically, last night, it's a lot closer to what their reality was.
Yeah, that's what they were for much of the season. For Coleman Hawkins, because he's a senior, and Jerome Tang was asked about, you know, postseason tournament stuff, obviously not the NCAA tournament, but would they play in one of these consolation tournaments? There's a new one called like the Crown Tournament or something, or whatever it is. Fox created what
College
it
Crown.
College Crown. Is, yeah. And they basically, or Jerome Tang basically said, yeah, we're not playing in that because a lot of our two seniors aren't going to, not going to want to play in that. It would be too late in the process and all that. And why play in something like that? So that should be the end of the Kansas State basketball season. I want to actually pivot for a second. We were going to talk Kansas, but more photos are coming out of so Cooper Flagg, one of the top, if not the top player in college basketball who left the ACC quarterfinal today, has emerged, according to reports, from the Hornets x-ray room. That's where they're playing, in the Charlotte Hornets building. Still in a wheelchair, left ankle heavily swollen. There's a photo circulating now. Looks like Pierce, he's very emotional as well, as you would expect. Right before the tournament, like, this doesn't seem like, oh, he's just, you know, he'll be good to go in 3 days. That's a problem, and also terrible for college basketball if the best player in the country, some reason, were to miss any or part of the NCAA tournament. But not a good scene for Duke. Their chances. Also, you just wonder about him individually with, you know, the draft prospects that he has. Hopefully it looks way worse than what it actually is.
I mean, again, Cooper Flagg is the single biggest star in the sport, and college basketball doesn't get stars that everybody knows in college quite the way it used to. Maybe it's because of the amount of time they're in there. Maybe because big, big, big stars coming through the collegiate game only happens every couple of years. He's a relatively, for college basketball, he's pretty close to a household name. Cooper Flagg to be out for any length of time in the NCAA tournament. My same rule applies as college football is college basketball. I don't think you're a one seed, you're a one seed. You performed up to your task. I hate that we change it based on, like, let's say he's not available through the,
they'll still be a one seed, but they may, if you thought they're the, like, if there was a chance still, they'd be the number one overall seed. If the injury information actually came out before, which is why I think they're going to be really cautious. Yeah. That it can impact your number one overall seed. They will still be a number one seed just because I don't think the information is going to come out.
But if this is how college football playoff did it, then they should be like a four now. Their best player out. I mean, what's the point, right? They can't, you know, and I'm not saying they can't win, but like, I don't want seeding impacted by it. This is awful news for college basketball. They were one of the three biggest favorites to win the entire, you know, the entire thing, the whole tournament.
So I actually had it on over here when, as it happened, and he was in enough pain where he was getting worked on. He was biting into a towel and yelling as it was getting worked on. Best case scenario is he's out a week or two. Like best case scenario.
I don't know yet. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I don't know if it's.
We got a week before the tournament starts.
I don't know.
Maybe it could be a Friday game.
It doesn't seem like something where, oh, he'll be fine in 4 days. I also don't want to say like he's out for the tournament or something like that. It's the photo that's been circulating. It's very clearly the left ankle is swollen, as you would expect.
He just went up to grab a rebound and just came down and his leg buckled.
That's always, I always feel like that's worse. Like basketball, a little more common because you can just like roll an ankle or whatever, Drew, but you know how we feel about non-contact injuries. Like, just a bad, bad, bad feeling. Duke this morning was plus 330. They had the second best odds to win the NCAA tournament. Auburn was at plus 310. They are now already down to plus 700 just based on the fact that he had to get wheeled off the court.
Rather than just take it off the board.
Well, that's over at, you know, one of the sports books. Like, you still can bet him right now. I don't know why. They will eventually. You know this works cold. They will eventually until they get more injury information.
Yikes.
Yeah, that's really tough for college hoops.
Yeah, it's terrible. Hope the kid's okay. We don't know. He came down with an ankle injury, and now they'll get an x-ray. We'll find out. Like yesterday, I was worried for 30 minutes that Bobby Wood Jr. was going to miss some serious time because he came down with the injury, and at least he didn't. Let's continue the college basketball talk since Kansas will play tonight against an Arizona team who you've pointed out they beat about a week ago. This is the most underwhelming Kansas team. Even like last night, it's like, it's glimpses. 2 minutes where I'm like, yeah, Kansas kind of looks like a fundamental basketball team who can move the ball around and know how they want to score. And then 2 minutes later, it's an 8-0 run by the opponent, like in UCF last night. And where you're like, why do you keep letting this team back in? They could have put UCF away 4-5 different times in that game last night is what it felt like. Let it get to overtime, even though it shouldn't, which is tough in a Big 12 tournament. You don't want to play extra overtimes and do all that. It got close again towards the end of overtime. Every time they got up 4 or 5 points, even one time, double digits, UCF just came right back. And a lot of that is because they're not a very good defensive team. We spent a lot of time talking about this with Missouri, but Kansas has got their own struggles in perimeter defense, and they kind of rely on somebody outside of Hunter Dickinson being good on offense. Last night, they got Zeke Mayo and A.J. Storr. Can they get that twice? Can they get that again against Arizona tonight? I don't know.
Anybody that's watched KU this season, last night should not have been a surprise how the game played out. There were moments, yes, where you were getting excited. A.J. Storr hadn't done anything all year, has his best game as a member of the Kansas Jayhawks. You're thinking, wow, okay, maybe just in time for the tournament. At the same time, K.J. Adams couldn't catch a basketball. Bill Self's drawn up ISO plays for him late instead of for Hunter Dickinson or Zeke Mayo. The game gets to overtime. Give credit to UCF. They made, 14 or 15 threes in the game, and that's their style of basketball. They were able to keep it very close in the game at Allen Fieldhouse earlier in the season as well, when Kansas was able to hold on for a victory. So that ended up being the issue, again, perimeter defense for Kansas. And tonight against Arizona is a much better team than UCF, but even matchup wise, in a weird way, Arizona's not just going to run it up and chuck it, which might be something that favors Kansas a little bit more because their perimeter defense is weak. But they're going to, of course, have to play a lot better. I thought offensively they really weren't that bad last night. It was the defense yet again that wasn't great. I actually thought offensively, because when you look at Hunter Dickinson, who led the team in scoring, Zeke Mayo led the team in scoring, Hunter Dickinson was right there. And then, 19 from A.J. Storr. I mean, that kind of offensive output if you got that from those three all of a sudden out of nowhere, you're in good shape. The problem is defensively, they were pitiful.
Yeah, because to get that out of A.J. Storr and still in a game against UCF, that's more concerning than is exciting in a lot of ways. Like, you haven't gotten that level of production out of A.J. Storr the entire basketball season, and now kind of feels like you get stuck in no man's land. Little news in Major League Baseball, by the way, the Tampa Bay Rays, according to Jeff Passan, will not proceed with the development of a $1.3 billion baseball stadium in St. Petersburg, Florida. Continues to be interesting, Gold, in my opinion, because of the stadium situation for the Royals, and kind of as they continue to try to get their stadium built. Yeah, they're gone, right? No more Tampa Bay Rays if they're not going to build a $1.3 billion stadium. And their owner the other day is like, I can afford to build the new roof, but would I? And so, if that's the case, they're gone. Nashville?
The county commissioners there in Tampa in November, obviously new members of the board or whatever were elected. And so some of them that they thought they had the votes for before are no longer yeses. And so that was the first issue. And then there was a report 3 days ago that MLB owners are pressuring the current Rays owner to sell the team. Like, they want them out because there's other groups that are willing to pay more money, and the owners in baseball want revenue share of the sale. And so it's a way for them to all make some money. And
get rid of your team.
And they know that an owner in another market, whether it's Montreal, whether it's Nashville, whether it's Portland, these other markets already have groups kind of in place. Certainly Nashville does. So yeah, it's going to be one to watch. And the fact that they're abandoning their plan, I mean, if you're not fixing the roof, if you're not building a new stadium, you're not playing a spring training park for the next decade. So, yeah, I think we know kind of where this is trending for the Rays. It would not surprise me at all in the next calendar year if we find out they're for sale.
Adds a little bit to the ugliness that the Royals are dealing with. Other teams also are, just in sports, I feel like kind of the attitude has changed. Other teams are also having a difficulty getting some of these stadium projects done and done in a way. Like, they had a deal done. Remember, Vegas had to keep going back and forth because it seemed like they had their deal done, Gold, and then didn't. So, there is a part of it that kind of makes it a bit of a challenge where you run into these major financing stuff, and then it probably didn't help that, the stadium got ripped up. They had nowhere to play outside of it. Now they just have no reason to stay in Tampa Bay, right? They're playing in a spring training facility. The Yankees spring training facility for Rays games this year. I wouldn't be surprised. I don't know if they're going to convince him to sell his team. I would if I were them, because the relocation fee stinks. I'd rather just sell and let somebody else relocate. I'm going to get out. Whatever he paid for the Rays, it's probably got to be worth a lot more now. How long has he been the Rays?
Oh, I don't think this guy's losing money. Don't worry. Yeah. I don't know. Rays ownership group. I don't know if it's just him or if there's a huge group involved. Let's see. Rays ownership. Stu Sternberg. What do you think he bought the team for? What's your guess?
When did they buy? That'll give me an idea.
Yeah, that's fair. Let me give you that. Sorry. Yeah, it's kind of hard to otherwise. Bought Rays. Let's see. He paid $200 million in 2004.
Oh, man.
It's valued at $1.25 million or something. Yeah.
turn out probably fine.
But the owners want it to happen too, because one, they get, new ownership group is going to pay probably more than 1.2 if we're 1.25.
Yeah, probably more like 1.5.
And they get a cut of the, I don't know what the percentage is, but they get a share of the sale. Plus, what's,
and then if there's a relocation fee, there's fees associated with that that go to the other.
There's
owners.
Also just been a problem with attendance in Tampa for many, many, many years.
It's not a good baseball town. And look, maybe it's ownership. Maybe this had got bad owners and there's no reason to support a team. But like the Rays were like good for a while. They won a lot of games for a long time. They were a consistently decent baseball club for 10 years and they had attendance issues. Like at that point, it's just like, well, then what's the point? What are we doing? This all goes back to my same theory too, which is all stadiums should be smaller. Like people should stop building stadiums bigger and bigger and bigger, which they did for a long time. And instead they need to shrink these things. Like, shrink them way down.
Yeah, depending on the market you're in, for sure. Yeah, yeah, sure. You're not going to do it in L.A. or New York. But, yeah, I think the Royals, if they ever figure out where they're going...
One of their designs was for less.
...was going to be, yeah, lower capacity, which I think is fine.
Yeah. I mean, again...
It means if they make the playoffs, yeah, obviously it's going to be a hotter ticket, but it's a good problem to have at that point in time, I think, for everybody.
Yeah, but it also means when you go to a regular season game during that time, you'll be excited because it'll feel like a great atmosphere. I actually thought the atmosphere last night at Big 12 felt pretty... I mean, very pro Kansas, but it seemed like, Drew, you were there in person. It seemed like a pretty good crowd.
Yeah, yeah, it was a really good crowd, particularly for the last game where obviously as things got more down to it, you know, the fans rise on their feet and you can just feel the buzz and everything like that. It was very good. I'm sure it's the same way there. We only have so many crowd shots, but I would assume
have you
today
seen
entirely
what's going
just
on
be nuts.
In this, have you seen what's going on in this game right now?
Which one?
They got 100 combined points essentially.
53-49.
It's the first half and it's 53-49. They can't miss. Unreal. It sort of looks like it's a fun first half. We've obviously only been peeking over at the TV.
I also saw that Cooper Flagg is back on the bench. He got wheeled out in a wheelchair.
I mean, good, good.
All right, like, Paul good. Pierce. Jeez.
Good, though.
Now he's back on the bench?
Well, just because he's sitting on the bench doesn't mean he can be sitting.
He walked out to the bench using his legs.
He probably got some medicine. He's not playing. He's not going to play. That would be the all-time to turn around. He's obviously done playing the ACC tournament. I think there's no way he plays again in the ACC tournament. No, this Iowa State game is just absolutely insane. It was Iowa State shooting 60%, BYU shooting 50%, Iowa State shooting 58% from three, BYU 47% from three. Just an insane first half. The total was 146.5. It is 186. You just have to laugh at that one. You just have to flat out laugh how ridiculous of a first half that was in terms of scoring.
Fun one. If you've been down to the Big 12 tournament, enjoy.
Up next, guys, we'll not only be joined by Josh Vernier, Royals insider, but let's talk more about where Aaron Rodgers could head. There's new details out there, including the Steelers signing a different quarterback. Coming up in about 8 minutes or so, we'll head out to Surprise, Arizona, check in with our Royals insider, Josh Vernier. Don't forget, though, basketball madness comes to...
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide-leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
If you don't know about flyer deals on Instacart, this message is for you. Flyer deals are like strolling through your favorite store looking for deals, but you're scrolling your phone and maybe you're in bed because getting delivery doesn't mean you have to miss deals like you get at the store, like the one creamer that doesn't make your stomach hurt or the pasta sauce you can't not buy when it's on sale. So download the Instacart app, shop flyers, and never miss a deal on one of your favorites. Plus, get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
KC for the NAIA Men's College Basketball Championship, March 20th through the 25th at Municipal Auditorium. 16 teams, 15 games, one national champion. Bring the family for nonstop action and affordable tickets. Get yours today at NAIAHoops.com. We'll let you know if there's any new information when it comes to college basketball today. For those just joining us, Cooper Flagg left with what appears to be a fairly serious ankle injury in the Duke game. Now he has returned to the bench. I don't think anybody's expecting to see him playing anytime soon.
Doubtful to come back in the game.
Yeah, had x-rays examined and all that. I don't know. We'll find out after the game from John Shire. But you're talking about the best player in college basketball, number one overall pick, assuming he comes out for the draft, all of that, and one of the favorites to win the national championship. That's why it is of note, to say the least, today. But let's go to the NFL a little bit. Aaron Rodgers still has not made a decision. That hasn't changed. The Pittsburgh Steelers have signed a quarterback today.
Mason, is it Aaron Rodgers?
Mason Rudolph. Oh. 2 years, $8 million deal. They now have
one quarterback. Prodigal son returns.
Right. They have one quarterback under contract. And there was some speculation last night from some NFL insiders that Aaron Rodgers is considering the Minnesota Vikings, and maybe that's part of the holdup. Part of the holdup is just Aaron Rodgers likes the attention. Like, we've established that year after year after year. Why Minnesota? You're going to go there. Maybe they would promise you to start. And then if you perform well, I guess you pull a Darnold and you just start all year. Otherwise, if I'm the Vikings, why would I not just go with J.J. McCarthy? Why am I even going down the veteran? Like, I need a backup quarterback there because McCarthy's question mark. But why would I go get a different backup quarterback? And if you're Rodgers, what are you waiting for? The Steelers is an unreal opportunity considering
it's
the year
you
had.
Better than you deserve to get. You rated out as one of the worst quarterbacks in the NFL last year. You're at best, if you're an optimist right now, an average NFL quarterback. Maybe there's some upside beyond that, but like someone signing you, they think they're getting an average NFL quarterback. They're hoping they get an average NFL quarterback. It makes no sense to me. I understand why you'd want to play for Minnesota. I have no idea why Minnesota would want to do that. You want a veteran? If J.J. McCarthy has to miss four games, get a veteran who can get the hell out of the way once that time hits. Go get your Carson Wentz. Go get some other guy who's made starts in the NFL. Do not go Aaron Rodgers. He is toxic to your organization. Do you not see what he just did to the Jets? I can't believe Aaron Rodgers even thinking about it. That the Steelers are like, please, Aaron, please come sign with us. We're asking so nicely that he wouldn't immediately sign that. It's crazy to me. It makes no sense to me. I don't think the Vikings are really interested. The report is he's interested. Is there some part of him that's like, maybe I shouldn't go the exact Brett Favre path?
I don't think that factors
Packers
into
the Jets, to the Vikings.
That's a fun like fan social media thing. I don't think Aaron Rodgers is thinking, man, if I go there, it's just like Brett Favre. I think that's just a fan thing. Someone says, because Aaron Rodgers once won a Super Bowl, that's why he would go to the Vikings. Again, two different things. One, if you're the Vikings, why would you go down that path? I also push back on the notion that Aaron Rodgers is going to a Super Bowl anytime again in his career.
I don't think he's the kind of quarterback who just bolts you to the Super Bowl anymore.
He's an average, below average quarterback. Now, I'm not saying, of course, he's a Hall of Famer. We got to stop thinking he's the same guy he was 5 or 6 years ago. He's not. He had an unbelievable career. But the last couple of years, he has been what he's been, which is average, below average. That's what you're getting. I'm saying the Steelers make sense because he's clearly the starter there. There's nobody. You're not looking over your shoulder at Mason Rudolph if you're Aaron Rodgers. You have a head coach that's been going to the playoffs consistently. I love Kevin O'Connell, but if I'm Kevin O'Connell, you just invent Minnesota. You just drafted J.J. McCarthy. He got hurt, plus Sam Darnold was going to be the starter anyway. You moved on from Darnold, which tells me the minute you moved on from Darnold, you were ready to start J.J. McCarthy, not move on from Darnold just to bring in Aaron Rodgers for another year.
No, it wouldn't make any sense. Like,
probably because they don't have to pay Aaron. They don't have to pay Aaron what they'd have to pay Sam Darnold, though.
Here's the thing Aaron Rodgers has to his advantage, and he's going to take it to it, is he loves the publicity. There was like a photo of him on a beach hanging out and all this nonsense. Is that he knows that the Steelers don't have another choice. There's not some other than just signing Russ off the street, and I guess he's going to visit Cleveland. Russ should take any job anybody offers too, because at least he'll have a chance. He probably would be the starter in Cleveland over Kenny Pickett. Not sure why you give up a fifth-round pick for Kenny Pickett if you're just going to sign Russ And the Cleveland fans, they're ready to just bail on this season, get the hell out of this Deshaun Watson contract in a year and a half, 2 years, and start fresh themselves. And so it's like, why are you the Steelers? They're one of the like more stable franchises. They've got two wide receivers right now that look pretty good. They've got a solid defense. They got one of the league's best defensive players. Like, that's not a good enough fit for you. What the hell are you trying to get? Did they tell you you can't bring Randall Cobb in or something? What's the issue here?
I have a question. If Aaron Rodgers signs with the Steelers, do you consider them a legitimate Super Bowl threat anyways?
No.
That's why he wants to go to the Vikings.
I don't consider the Vikings a legitimate Super Bowl threat either.
I understand that, but I think before the season started last year, we would consider Sam Darnold to be the same as Aaron Rodgers or worse. And they went 13-3 and everything like that. So who's to say that they can't do the same thing with Aaron Rodgers?
Like 70 years old.
I know that is a fair point. I just think that
it's a fair point.
That's why Aaron is interested, and that's where if you're the Vikings, you got to figure out what you really want, because it, obviously, as Cody said, it takes two to tango. Where if Aaron, no matter how much Aaron Rodgers wants the Vikings, if the Vikings are like, we'll pass, then Aaron Rodgers will have no choice. Maybe that's what he's just hanging on to, I guess, in terms of. Maybe the Vikings will give me a shot, and he hasn't heard back, or I don't know, something along those lines.
This is now twice in the last 2 weeks. I can't remember the exact example 2 weeks ago. What's Rappaport doing, like, trying to make things bigger stories than they are? He's not getting in a fight, but this is the tweet he had sent out earlier when Mac Jones signed with the Jacksonville, or with the 49ers. Said, one of the big what-ifs in the NFL over the last decade. What if the 49ers had drafted Mac Jones instead of Trey Lance? We'll never know, but Jones will finally know what it's like to be coached by Kyle Shanahan. Can I ask a question? Is one of the great mysteries of the last decade in the NFL, what if the 49ers took Mac Jones instead of Trey Lance? What if they both stink? I don't what if
it's
that.
Not like they signed him to be their what? Starter either. They signed him to be a backup to their quarterback who they picked dead last in the draft.
That was just like a really funny phrasing. One of the biggest what ifs of the last decade? I mean, I guess Mac Jones would have lasted longer than Trey Lance did in a 49ers uniform, but I don't think it's some great mystery. I haven't been sitting around wondering what if they had taken Mac Jones all those years ago. I've watched Mac Jones play. He's not particularly good.
Yeah, someone on the text line said, we're making it seem like Aaron Rodgers had a way worse year than what he did. He had similar numbers to Patrick Mahomes. I would say a couple things. Context matters. Aaron Rodgers was playing in a lot of meaningless football games and racking up numbers when his team was trailing late in games. The other thing, from a pro football focus grade perspective, we know that's not favorable to Patrick Mahomes typically either. Aaron Rodgers was 18th. What did we say? We said he was average to below average. He was 18th, so he was an average quarterback. There's 32 starting last year, more than 32 started, but you get the point. 32 teams. He was 18th. That's an average or below average quarterback. I think that's pretty fair.
And the bigger issue is like, if I get an average quarterback, I don't need a headache. Like, if I'm getting an average quarterback, I want Sam Darnold. I want, like, Mr. Do Right. You know, I want the guy who doesn't get in the way, doesn't stand in the way of the organization, shows up, does his job, keeps quiet. You know, like, I kind of want, if I'm getting an average quarterback, I want Mr. Do Right. I don't want Aaron Rodgers. That's the opposite of the kind of attention I want if I have a mediocre quarterback.
Now, we've gotten too far. Someone says he's played his way out of the Hall of Fame. Okay, stop. He is going to be a Hall of Famer. He'll probably still be a first ballot Hall of Famer. Yeah, he had an unbelievable career. Let's not let the last 3 or 4 years of chaos and everything else, whatever you want to call it, cloud our judgment on that. He's still going to be a Hall of Famer. Come on now. Come on.
Maybe the Steelers are going to trade for Joe Burrow is what the text line is suggesting now, you know?
Yeah, I know. These guys.
They should try, you know?
Barber sent me a picture last night. He was in Cincinnati, apparently.
He
took a picture of Paycor. I was like, hey, while you're at it, go over there and tell him to spend some money. Barbershop.
They might be signing Barber to shore up the defense.
Or if anything, Barber would go over.
Barber have to be the middle linebacker for that team.
He could probably start right now.
They don't have anybody else on that defense right now.
Either that or he'd go tell them they need to trade. He'd actually make his pitch for trading Joe Burrow is what he would do.
Let's go and talk some Royals baseball with Josh Vernier.
Make sure Bobby Wood Jr. still has an arm.
Yeah, our Royals insider spring training coverage on 96.5 The Fan, brought to you by Park & Go, KC's premier airport parking destination. Vern, all right, let's just get right to it. Sounds like the Royals avoided disaster with Bobby Wood Jr. getting hit by a pitch.
Certainly. And listen, when you have forearms that bring back memories of Mickey Mantle and Mike Trout, yeah, it's going to be difficult to truly make a dent. And honestly, looking at him today, And you can't even see a bruise. All you see are those behemoth forearms. He was out there earlier today, stretching with the guys, unsure if he's going to swing. And, you know, could still find himself in a Cactus League game as early as Sunday or Monday of next week. So certainly crisis averted. Christmas is still on. Opening day will still happen at Kauffman Stadium.
It was a kind of stressful 30 minutes to an hour, because when you see he's leaving, he'll be further evaluated, x-rays are scheduled, and you're like, oh, God. Because even they don't know at that point, right? I mean, they're telling you the same thing we don't know, which is where we're just going to go back there and get an x-ray and hope it's not broken.
Yeah, the only reason I was concerned was how quickly he capitulated and made his way to the dugout. Normally, and maybe it was because Salvador Perez wasn't in the dugout saying, get your ass to first base like he normally does. But Bobby's cut from that same cloth. The Mahomes, Salvador Perez, not only in their ability, their supreme ability, but also in the ability to bounce back after what appears to be a catastrophic injury. Their bodies respond differently than the average athlete, let alone the average person. So, you know, when I see Bobby go down to his knees and elbows, normally he doesn't show that type of pain. And let's be real here. You know, he's already been hit on the hand, wrist, forearm, elbow half a dozen times in his big league career. And it's the same shock wave of anxiety coursing through the veins of all Royals fans when you see that. And so far, he's a perfect 6-for-6 in his ability to come back after said hit by pitch. And yeah, 96 from the hard throwing righty Munoz out of that Mariners bullpen. You could certainly hear it from the press box. And you know, Bobby didn't even, if you've seen the video, Bobby didn't even make it a third of the way down the first baseline, which you know, spits in the face of how he normally goes about his business. Now he's also like Salvi, like Patrick, cerebral. He understands these games don't matter. We're 2 weeks away from the first game that matters in their redemption tour of 2025. So maybe that's why he gave in to Q as easily as he did. But nonetheless, all is well.
I think fans were ready to go with pitchforks all the way out to Seattle and to find out. Was it just you think that pitch truly just one that slipped out? There's nothing weird going on or anything? Spring training.
I would certainly hope not. I mean, but, you know, Bobby wears the elbow pad for a reason. You know, Munoz isn't a kid either. He's a quality reliever that lives on the inside part of the plate. And no, I he certainly didn't do it on purpose. But you know, if I'm him, yeah, sure, fine by me. I want Bobby to now take note every time you step in the box against me, and you know, tell your friends, let the rest of Major League Baseball know I'm not afraid to go in. It's, you know, all good if I'm Munoz with the Mariners. That's what you want. You want guys intimidated stepping in the box.
My guess is,
as we see nowadays, guys are unabashed about it. They hang all over the dish.
Yeah, they don't play till June 30th. I think we'll all forget about it by then.
Sure.
Can they just walk Julio Rodriguez for the rest of time?
Yeah, it might be a good idea. And I mean, Gold, you said it a few weeks ago. That's your. You know, you might take a flyer on that dude for American League MVP.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, it is fun to watch him interact with the Mariners fans. He has that fan base, understandably, wrapped around his finger. But, boy, is he, everything that we love about Bobby, Julio has the exact same thing with maybe an even more sparkly personality. He's fun to watch, man.
There's a couple of guys I want to ask you about, obviously, on the Royals roster. They're going to make the big league club. But look, we always get wrapped up in the, like, Jack Caglione, here comes the biggest name. I wanted to go to a different prospect. Gavin Cross has had a really, really, really good spring. And for a team that will eventually need outfield help, what have you made about what he's done in spring?
Yeah, he's been he's been solid. Nothing that really drops my jaw.
Okay.
You know, do it over the course of a season. You know, listen. You know, my conversations with him are reflective of a young man that has taken the next step as a professional, understanding that the off season is just as important as the regular season. What you put in your body is just as important as what you do out on the field. It's, you know, a sign of maturation, man. You can't wolf down McDonald's and skip days in the off season. You know, it's because when you're doing that, there's some kid in A-ball, there's some kid in Venezuela, in the Dominican, that is catching up and ultimately going to pass you by. You know, we've talked about it in the past with Brady Singer implementing new pitches, MJ Melendez willing to adjust and try a new batting stance. You know, if you're not willing to adjust or admit, I don't know everything and I always have room for improvements, if you're not willing to do that, man, this game's going to chew you up and spit you out. Right, the average big league career is now less than 3 years. So not only do you never make it to free agency, you don't even get to arbitration. So man, Gavin Cross, yes, he's a first-round pick. Yes, he has all five tools. But there are a lot of guys in AA, AAA that have all five tools. It's what are you willing to sacrifice? How much does it mean to you? And what is that year-round work ethic look like? And it appears to me that Gavin Cross had that, you know, come-to-Jesus moment at some point last season, took his off-season real serious, and hopefully it pays dividends this year because he certainly needs it because, you know, there are other outfield options within the organization that could pass him up and could pass him up this season.
We're talking to our Royals insider, Josh Fournier. It's still too quote unquote early in spring training for the back end of the roster to have any separation. We were talking to you a couple weeks ago about a few guys that could factor in for some bench spots and maybe how this ultimately plays out in the outfield. Right now, health has been a good thing for everybody, even with the Bobby Witt Jr. scare. So is there any more solidification, I guess, on that?
It honestly, the bench battles have been for the most part disappointing. No one's really come out and taken a stranglehold. Nick Prado and Nelson Velasquez, to me, are playing hot potato with that. You know, neither one showing that they've improved on their deficiencies enough to where they've earned a spot on the roster. To me, Kevin Biggio, Harold Castro, not only with their versatility, but with their plate appearances, those two have stood out to me. And if we look at it as if there are four bench spots, you know Freddie Fermin's grabbing one of those. Dairon Blanco has received absolutely no competition for that backup center field job. Obviously, Blanco, great on the base paths. Drew Waters has been fine. I wouldn't say that he has disappointed, but he hasn't impressed. The guys that have impressed me that aren't the locks for the roster are, you know, names like Gavin Cross or John Rave or Carter Jensen, Cam Devaney, guys that are either a year away from being a true contender to be in that opening day lineup or at least that opening day roster. And the other guys to me are AAA players having nice springs, but they need to put together another nice AAA season and have an opportunity at the big league, talking about the, you know, Waters and Rave and Devaney, nice players, but I think things would need to go sideways for them to find themselves in the show this season. So yeah, those final two spots on the bench, to use a word to describe it, it's been disappointing. And that brings me back to a point I made a few weeks ago about, you know, the nine guys, Salvi, Vinny, and Bobby, Massey, India, Garcia, Isbell, MJ, and Renfro. Those nine are going to see their names in the lineup. Six out of it, you would imagine, five out of every 7 days, six out of every 7 days, just in different positions defensively. With, you know, Freddie getting the occasional start, Dairon spelling someone late in the game, and then whoever, you know, if it's Biggio and Castro, those are just late game replacements because each of them can play all four infield spots, and Castro could even moonlight in the outfield if he needed him to.
Vern, last question I think for us, and then we'll let you get back to spring training. So we saw obviously the Bobby Witt stuff happened, and then we were worried, and then Vinny posted a photo of Bobby at their place, you know, making sure that he was using both his hands to send out that tweet. He said he's staying with Bobby for spring. Do you think he chips in on rent?
I would hope not. No, Bobby's been letting the guys crash at his place out here in Arizona for a while. No. When you sign that contract, well, you know what? I don't know, man. They're in just such a different tax bracket. I don't know how they talk to one another, but just knowing Bobby as a person, I can't imagine that was the case. In today's edition of Vinny being Vinny in the clubhouse, he walks up to the group of couches, and the guys razz him a little bit because everyone sitting on the couch was a draft pick in the first 10 rounds, and they were telling Vinny, you're an 11th round pick. You got to go sit over at that couch. So Vinny made a big deal about it. Seth Lugo came over and sat down, and Vinny goes, hey, Lugo, Seth, I don't think you're allowed to sit here. Where were you drafted? Lugo responds, the 34th round. Vinny then chimes back, well, you know what? You don't even get to sit at a couch, man. Just go sit back at your locker.
Man, he's round shaming people?
Oh, man.
Yes.
Right after it happened to him, man, quickly it happens.
What do you got in store tonight? There's no K-State basketball, Vern, so you are full go tonight, 6 o'clock, hot stove shot.
Oh, man, Ema, man, heartbreaker. again, the aforementioned Vinny Pasquantino, scheduled to sit down with him. I told you guys Sam Long, and might have a chance to, depending on, you know, it all kind of depends on how deep this conversation gets with Vinny. Mm-hmm. But if time permits, the Royals Hall of Famer Mike Sweeney, and if not, we'll be sure to get him on the final edition of the Hot Stove next Thursday night.
Perfect. We'll be listening tonight. Vern's Hot Stove Show, 6 o'clock here on 96.5 The Fan. Thanks, man.
Thank you.
There you go. Vern joins us each and every day throughout spring training, yeah, right around 12:40.
2 weeks from today.
Yeah.
Opening day baseball here in Kansas City.
We were looking. We're like, we know it's going to change.
I can't wait.
We know it's going to change, but we were keeping an eye on the weather. So far, 68 and a 20% chance of rain. I'll take it. Take that if that's what
that
it actually
fine.
Is. Hopefully that's
We've
what it is.
We've sat through some miserable ones. It snowed a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
There were flurries coming down as Bobby Wood Jr. scored the game-winning run his rookie year in the big leagues because they didn't stall in the 2 years.
68 would be incredible.
Are you kidding?
Opening day in Kansas City?
Imagine the ticket probably fetch an extra dollar or two if that's the actual weather it kicks around.
I bet you there are some fans that are waiting to see what the weather is before they pull the trigger on a pair of tickets for opening day. Even though, look, this team made the playoffs last year, I think opening day should be pretty good atmosphere and impact. There should be no empties on opening
day. Yeah, but if it's 70, that's when the secondary market starts to get a little more expensive to get in. That's all.
No question.
Not saying it won't be. I assume it'll be a sold out crowd like it is opening days, even when they weren't good sometimes. But certainly when they made the playoffs last year, you would hope so.
All right, coming up next, we'll get another update in Big 12 tournament action. Iowa State BYU continues to be a really competitive game in quarterfinal action. We'll also get to the random question of the day right here on Cody and Gold.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features Swift Rinse Tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America. Yeah.